Alma chapter 51. In the beginning of this chapter, we learn that contention again arises in the land of the Nephites, and again it's because many desire to have a king. And I would repeat we might see that the flattering words of these people were that, well, look how wonderful things were under the time of Mosiah and King Benjamin, and now look how terrible they are now, and so we need to return to a king. But these were just flattering words because there was nothing in it. But also, we repeat that Helaman is writing from the viewpoint of man, meaning it's his own viewpoint, not from the inspired word of God. And he tends to glorify things, meaning he glorifies the church and how well the people are doing and how happy they are. And it's just not the case. The church was not doing well. The people were not turning to Christ. And at best, they were following the leaders of the church in some of the Ten Commandments. But in this other section here, we see immediately they wanted a king, or they would rather worship a king than worship God. And so they weren't even obeying the first commandment. There's some real problems here. And it comes because men tend to think in terms of good according to man, meaning they think man defines good. And as we learn in this scripture in the Book of Mormon, good is the following of Christ, and anything that leadeth to Christ is good, and that's all. Everything else can be and will be distorted by the devil and used to fulfill his purposes, which is to take you slowly, take you away from Christ, even if it's to take you unto men, as is the case today. Well, anyway, to continue on with this story, the people then vote, and they vote to retain their freedom. Well, this happens exactly at the same time that the Lamanites are coming to battle with a lot greater army. And so as they're coming to battle, then the king men who wanted a king, they refused to fight. Well, this angers Moroni, it says. Now, this is, remember, Helaman explaining this. And it angers Moroni, and so he desires to make them fight, or he's going to kill them. Now, again, there's no mention of this is what the Lord wants. Again, it's what it was talking about Moroni and what he wanted. If we go back to chapter 49, verse 15, they were building things up due to Moroni's wisdom. And then we go to verses chapter 50, verse 32, and it says, Moroni feared that they were going to do something, so he decided. We don't have the strong reference of the Lord being in these decisions. When Helaman himself is talking, he is not talking about delivering the word of God. He only talks about delivering the word of the brethren. Things are not in real good shape here. And this is just for a good example for us to see. We can see that. What's sad about this section to me, this whole section written by Helaman, is that this seems to be the main section that all men, when they read the Book of Mormon, they like that the most. And yet this is the section that was written from the viewpoint of man and is the weakest written, or the portion of the Book of Mormon that shows that it was not written by the inspired will of God. Although it is included by the inspired will of God in the Book of Mormon to show us the difference in what it is like when we have the writings of man. Well, anyway, then Moroni then sends an army against the king men, having first gotten the authority by the voice of the people. Now, this is still important. I mean, this is a clear sign of the righteousness of Moroni, meaning that he did not care for power and authority. But notice it does recognize clearly, and the people agree, that the usurpation of power and authority is punishable by death. That is clear. And those who desire to take away freedom, that is a serious offense against God, to the meaning that it to the point that they should be sent back to God through receiving the death penalty. Again, so therefore we know from about Moroni that he believes in freedom, but doesn't just believe in freedom of a government to do what they want, but he believes in individual freedom, that it comes from individuals, and that he stands up for that, and he would not consider himself usurping the power and authority to do anything to the people. And second, he would not receive it from anyone but the voice of the people, meaning that each person should have their freedom and choice. So it was a just a tremendous freedom fighter, and there is no doubt about this. And it's a great sign to us that again, as we say over and over, the Lord will support freedom. But notice that again, what was going on in the land, the Lamanites were coming. So it wasn't expedient. So he didn't use the word, well, it's expedient that I just go crush these freemen and do that. He would not give up freedom for under any instance. So even though it was more expedient for him just to crush it and go back and fight the Lamanites, he still took the time to get the voice of the people to make sure that the true cause all the time was freedom and that freedom was always maintained. Well, notice that in verse 21 that Heman claims that this put order back in the land. And again, I'd say here that freedom is never forced on a people. And just because he put some order back in the land doesn't mean that freedom was reestablished. And again, we'll see later and almost immediately that there begins to be problems with amongst the people again. And again, Helaman is not riding according to the Lord, showing that he does not continue to, with his understanding that he knows the purpose of war, meaning to purge the people and so forth, to purge them and make them a righteous people, get rid of the wicked and have people leave. Instead, he writes with the sight of his eyes. In fact, Helaman, who is the head of the church, seems to have more admiration for Moroni as a man, and his eyes are kind of more fixed on him than they are on God. Although Moroni is a righteous man, we will continue to see that Helaman tends to have to be swayed by the appearance of man. Well, then it says in verse 23 that the Lamanites come into the land and they win the first battle and take the land there, and then they continue to sweep across a large section of land, taking city after city. And then they meet the army of Teancum, and they are repulsed. And why are they repulsed? Let us read 29 again, verse 29, again remembering that Helaman is writing this, and he says that they are repulsed because Teancum's men were great warriors. Again, they weren't great followers of the Lord. They weren't. It wasn't the power of the Lord. It was because Teancum's men were great warriors. Helaman is carried away with man. And you're going to get this distorted view. And again, that's why they had problems with land, because he was the head of the church. And he tended to do things according to what looked good according to man. And he records it in that manner. And again, he evaluated righteousness according to man. And what is that righteousness according to man? Well, that's called the Ten Commandments, because that was given on man's level. And so, nonetheless, what we're saying here, to a degree, the people did follow the Ten Commandments and did believe in freedom, and they will receive the support of the Lord. In the end of this chapter, then, Teancum sneaks into the camp of the Lamanites, and he kills Amalickiah, their leader. Now, whether this is good or bad, we don't know. We are not told. Because again, he didn't say it through the inspiration of the Lord. We're not, the sad part of them trying to say here, this record is not recorded to show us the dealings of the Lord. It's more showing the glory of man. But nevertheless, even though that's that way, we still see from this section that the Lord will support freedom. His basic principle is freedom, and he will support that and those who truly fight for freedom. And I would give this the strongest indication, though, from the Lord in having this section in here, that he absolutely expects us to support freedom. And it's that becomes the level. That becomes a level at which we can receive no more support of the Lord. As soon as we do not believe in freedom, then we lose the complete support of the Lord. And I think that anyone who truly believes in freedom will also believe in the Ten Commandments, because freedom is also requires strict laws, as was said previously, and those strict laws are based on the Ten Commandments. And these people did have those laws in the land, and they did have freedom, and therefore the Lord would support them to a degree.